Hello neighbors, welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. This is episode number 48. What keeps us from growing more food when we know that we can? Is it just easier to buy it all from somewhere else? Sure, the food system is far more complex than just producers and consumers, but sometimes it seems like neither growers nor eaters really have much role to play. The majority of the power and profit lies in between those two groups. How do we deal with that? And what's the role of government in helping to reduce the distance between producers and consumers? Today, we address these and other questions with two voices from Labrador Agriculture.
Another problem we got here is storage for root vegetables and stuff like that. There's no long-term storage.
Supply management supports a lot of other farms, a lot of other industries, but it's really cruel that over the last 30 years, all supply management has been on the island.
We're in Labrador, Newfoundland's a new plan, separated from us. Various opportunities over there that we don't have.
The hardest thing for me is supplying wholesalers and grocery stores with high-quality, labor-intensive product and competing against low-quality automation.
As you may remember from previous shows I've done in Labrador, there's a gap here between the potential of the land itself and the actual food production that takes place. Many limitations on growing are not physical or geographic or climate related, but they have to do with policies and social attitudes. As my guests today argue, we need to cultivate not only food, but also the ethos, the commitment to buying and eating our own local food. And that's sometimes harder to grow than the food itself. That said, being at the end of the food chain, the last stop on the trucking route, recipients of leftover lettuces, it all leads to a highly tuned sense of the necessity to grow food locally and regionally. You'll hear that in the chats today. I meet up with my first guest on a lovely late August afternoon in Happy Valley Goose Bay. The breeze is gentle and the bugs are dozing. There's lots of room. It's a big land. Join us.
My name is Edward Mesher here in Happy Valley, Labrador. And some of the things I've been involved with in the last years here in Goose Bay is I worked at various farms clearing land for different farmers, like for Desmond and Herb Brown when they were starting their farm. When I worked for Frank Pye, we also cleared land and planted and started things from seed and transplanted. Worked with Hank Schaus for 3 years clearing land down on Northwest River Road. Building up the soil, lime and fertilizer and compost, and always to collect bags of grass by the thousands to try to build up the land. Very sandy around here, of course. I got my own bit of gardening at home, growing various things, potatoes, cabbage, bok choy, radishes. I got quite a bit of rhubarb and strawberries and raspberries and onions and so on, snow peas and so on like that. Almost every year I would seem to try something different, fennel, or I often try different things, including bitter melon in the greenhouse, which there's a lot of Filipinos here, and I try to find out what they like to eat and that, you know. That's where I got the bok choy idea, and can sell as much as you can grow if we can keep ahead of the slugs in my area anyway. Yeah. We got a good place for growing. First of all, there's no rocks, very little rocks, but it's a matter of timing here because of our short season. Everything got to be done in right timing, right sequence and that, you know. Yeah. But my God, you can grow a lot of things. I've grown, and I see a lot of people grow many things here. You can grow broccoli and cauliflower outside and sugar snap peas, and then greenhouses around here. I've worked in growing lots of tomatoes, cucumbers, zucchini. Outdoors you can grow that. The main problem here for growing, I would say, is government regulations. From what I've been hearing for over the last few decades from various farmers, where I was involved with the Lake Melville Agriculture Association. So I've heard that over and over and over again. There's so much red tape to get any help. There's a lot of people in this area that got their own backyard gardens. A lot of people grow greens and cabbages and so on.
That's increasing? Is there more now than there used to be?
I couldn't say for sure, but this year in particular, I was doing a lot of tilling. I got a little rototiller, so I go around with my truck. I got quite a good look in several backyard gardens, and I couldn't keep up with it all myself. A couple other things I got going this year here. I'm also with Community Food Hub, coordinator mm-hmm. for gardens and things. We got a couple of one they call the Children's Garden over there by the back of the Husky Park behind the arena, and that's going really good this year. They put in two compost machines there last year and encouraged the public to, you know, put in their eggshells and scraps and so on, which is really good. And I put in leaves, and I would get some things from the co-op. I put that out this year, and everything really took off good. Last year, I had a bunch of tomato plants and things from the what the school children started, and I took care of them in the greenhouse. And at the end of the season, when it was getting cool out and starting to freeze, I brought them back, several of them, to three different schools here to help encourage children to see where tomatoes and cucumbers and green peppers is what I mostly had. And the teachers were very receptive to that. By then, the tomatoes are getting ripe and all that. And they got a good place there. They got like one room there full of lights and growing environment set up there and timers and really good good thing there.
You know some people who are trying to get into farming, and what do they experience for challenges?
Yeah, same thing I've been hearing for the last couple of decades since I've been getting into that. Since I came back here to Labrador, I've been out and living in Quebec and other parts of Canada and working in the farming too in New Brunswick and Nova Scotia when I was younger. But the challenge are red tape from the government is what I'm hearing.
All my friends are all around me. It's not hard to see why I love it here. How could I ever get lonely when laughter is all I ever. People here love to see you happy. They are blessed with this land and they are strong. They are blessed with this land and they are strong.
That was Jacinda Beals with the song Labrador to the Core. I'm talking with Edward Mesher, who has been involved with a wide variety of farming and gardening projects in central Labrador and beyond.
Thing that I mentioned, I'm working also at supportive housing, and there's nine different units around here, and then there's the shelter. I tried to get some funding, and I did get a little bit from the Mennonites. I was hoping and intending to put these little backyard raised bed gardens at each place to show how food grows and that. And I got three of them anyway, and in there I got some rhubarb donated to me, already just transplanted those, and there's potatoes and straw. Strawberries, turnip greens, what they call, which is really canola, and radishes. Those mostly, and some carrots and things like that in three different supportive housing units outside. And I got one, I made one over behind the women's shelter on Grenfell Street there, the Mokmi Status of Women. Mm-hmm. They asked me, and I said, geez, if I had the money, if I had the funding, I'd do it. And she gave me the go ahead, and I started right away the next day. And that's down there.
So where did you first get interested in farming?
I grew up in a big family right here in Happy Valley, and I guess where my parents was doing that too. We always had chickens, so we had fresh eggs and we had some manure then, and we always grew quite a bit of our own food, potatoes and rhubarb and some greens, turnip greens and lettuce and whatever the old man could think of, whatever we could try. Wasn't no expert at it, but we always managed to get a lot of potatoes. Yeah. And it's a big family, 14 kids.
14, really?
Oh, yeah. So we learned how to...
So do you all still garden, all the 14 kids?
Most of them are... Well, some of them are real good at it, like Tom growing apple trees and everything. As a matter of fact, a lot of my family, they're up in Cudjoac, northern Quebec, and I think I was partly instrumental in that, getting a greenhouse, community greenhouse, doing real good. And some of my mother, my brothers, and a few of them, my family, they're into that up there. Oh, as a matter of fact, I remember my father and mother brought rhubarb from here up to there, introduced it up there, and it's doing good. That's a pretty tough plant. But up there, it's kind of hard even to grow potatoes because you don't know when you're going to get frost. Yeah. It might be July 1st. I've seen it before. Yeah.
If a young farmer started up, is it possible to sell all your produce here? Is there a market? Like, are people...
Oh, yes. Yep. You never grow enough here. If you can make anything grow that's edible, you'll never grow... No one can grow enough. If you speak to Finley's there, you'll see, or anyone else around here. As long as they can get it out of the ground and get it out on in the stores or on sides of the street. Another problem we got here is storage for root vegetables and stuff like that. There's no long-term storage because you can grow all kinds of root things, potatoes and turnip and carrots and things like that, eh? There's no like root cellar. It'd be good if there was some kind of a good-sized root cellar kind of a place.
So how do we find out about new technologies or new crops? Do they travel?
There's the Newfoundland Labrador Federation of Agriculture meetings, and there's a member on there now, Desmond, going to that probably twice a year, I think, usually, and you try to find out. But we're in Labrador, Newfoundland's a new plan, separated from us. I noticed it's just the way it is. Various opportunities over there that we don't have. We can't drive down to the beach and get a truckload of seaweed or whatever. So we try to get what we could. But, you know, there's great opportunity, really, here in Labrador. Things were coordinated a little better. There's fish plants up along the south north coast. And we spoke about this. Different people have spoke about it, too. There must be some way that if it's sustainable or viable to do making fish meal or even shells. There's a lot of shell fishery too, and where the shells are just dumped back into the ocean, where possibly where they could be like processed, maybe ground and whatever. I'm sure it's it would be a great addition. I know that some of the farmers here and some regular non-farmers, people with backyard gardens, including myself, one time we goes out around to the coast, let's say Cartwright or Charlottetown or wherever along where you can get at the seaweed. I've done it different times, and I know other people have done it now. Load up with seaweed and bring that in, add it to your ground, you know, or you try to get somebody in a boat, because we're inland so far, we're connected to the sea, but we're so far in, we're...
And the other thing that farmers sometimes use, it would be animal manure, and you don't have a large group of animals.
Not much, no. That's another thing Frank Poy used to be often talking about, is why couldn't we have milking cows, Holsteins or whatever, some kind of cows, and pigs, where there's no abattoir here and no slaughterhouse, and that's not been another problem I've been hearing for many years.
So there's lots of people, I'm sure, who butcher moose.
Yes, so there's people around capable of doing any of that kind of stuff. It's not that the skill's not here. It would be an investment at the beginning to start it up, but then once it's set up, I think that would help attract more farmers with livestock and stuff like that, you know, including maybe sheep and lambs, chickens, cows, and beef. Yeah, you could create a lot more manure too, which is used everywhere else, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. As soon as anyone knows you got chickens, they ask right away, do you sell eggs? I think we're on the bottom list of getting our eggs and stuff from Quebec, and I heard they're like the leftover department or whatever, the extra large and large, which they're not the best grade eggs. Yeah. Best quality eggs are the younger ones, the peewees and the smaller ones, eh? We never see that here, never.
So if you got a call from the minister, what would you tell them?
I'd tell them to listen to the farmers while there's still a few left. I've heard it's from so many, it's like they're fighting uphill battle. They wanted to farm, and then I know there's many around here who attempted to get into the farming stuff, but once they start hitting the red tape, they just put up their hands and say, the hell with this, and then they go do something else.
I know that there is much more out there, why you love it there. But I think I'll keep my friends around me. I think I'll stick around here. I think I'll stick around here.
That's Labrador to the Core by Jacinda Beals. According to the 2016 Census of Agriculture, about 45% of all farm operators in Canada had to work off the farm to survive economically. Think about that for a moment. Let it sink in. Almost half of the people who grow our food have to work off the farm to make a living. And almost a third of farmers are working 30 hours a week or more off their farms. That, folks, is a national embarrassment. Our next guest runs a farm between Goose Bay and Northwest River in Labrador. I visited him late one afternoon in between his shifts of growing food and his shifts of off-farm work.
My name is Tom Andrews, and I'm farming in Happy Valley, Goose Bay.
You have quite the spread here, a variety of things. So what all do you do?
Well, we produce meat and we produce vegetables, and I guess you'd call it entertainment. We have the petting barn for the kids to come and engage with all the different types of animals. We don't have a lot of animals, but we have a large variety of animals.
And you'd be the only petting farm in Labrador,
I guess. Labrador, yeah.
When did you start this?
25 years ago, we started at our other location on Churchill Falls Road, but this one here now, I've been here for about 6 years.
When you were growing up, were you expecting to be a farmer?
Yeah, because I was raised on a farm, and I loved it. As a kid, I loved being around the animals, and I'm actually a ninth generation farmer. My dad farmed, and his dad farmed, and my stepmother, Pat, she traced it all back and had evidence that I was a ninth generation.
So what is different about farming in Labrador?
The climate, the soil's different. You know, sandy soil, you don't find that in... I farmed out west and farmed in Ontario and that, and you don't find this kind of sandy soil anywhere, so you've got different conditions to learn to live with.
Are there some advantages to farming at Labrador?
Yeah, a lot. You know, we don't have the diseases. It's all virgin ground. We don't have the viruses and a lot of the weeds we don't have. I haven't seen, thistle here yet, but we have to keep bringing in our hay and bring in other stuff. Then we are going to get those seeds in here and we will, you know, develop problems in time. But with the sand, you have the water flows through the sand, so the water table is high. Right now, today, I think our water table is about 6 feet below the surface. So when it's really hot and you haven't had any rain, there's a convection takes place and the sun will pull the moisture to the surface, and plants can get watered from down below even when you haven't had rain.
So you don't have to worry about the irrigation system?
You still do, because you know you want to get the water on there every few days as they're growing, and irrigation is something I definitely have to establish.
Where do you sell the vegetables?
We sell on the farmer's market. We sell at the grocery stores, and we sell to the wholesalers. We're trying to sell to the projects. We sell over in Lab City. We sell in the North Coast. We sell in the South Coast.
If you grew twice what you grow now, could you still sell it? Is there a market?
There's definitely a market for it, but we need storage and handling. We need to be able to take it out of the field and put it in the most prime storage condition as possible and get it ready, even if that's only for 5 days or 10 days or 20 days or for 5 months. You know, we should have our own food here year-round.
How close are we to that sort of infrastructure?
Well, we're hoping to build it this year. We're hoping to put up a building this year, and we need provincial support. We need the Department of Agriculture behind us, and we're just getting, you know, some clarifications on that now. But we want to put up at least a 60 by 100 this year and be ready to add on to it.
What other pieces of infrastructure would help for agriculture here?
Well, the slaughterhouse would be the main one. Yeah, we're processing chicken, and we got ducks coming in and hogs, and we're going to have 3 breeding sows. And they'll have 2.5 litters a year at 10 each, so the numbers can go up pretty quick. And all the pigs that we've had so far have all been pre-sold and I got lots of orders waiting for more.
Are there moves afoot for that?
For the slaughterhouse? Yes, there is. The provincial government spoke to me, and then we've come to an agreement, and it'll be next year.
What are the challenges for young farmers? There's a lot of talk about trying to get young farmers.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody until the policies change and the support mechanisms really get there. Like, we don't have supply management here. Supply management supports a lot of other farms, a lot of other industries, but it's really cruel that over the last 30 years, all supply management has been on the island, and it's like a mismanagement, because Newfoundland is using Labrador's population and its quota allocation, and Quebec is using Labrador's population and their quota allocation, and Iqaluit's. So they're producing for 60,000 people outside of their province, and Newfoundland is overproducing by 30,000 people, and it's against the law for us to pluck a chicken, lay an egg, or milk a cow.
Wasn't there a dairy herd here at one time?
No dairy, but there was egg quota. And that got sold out, and somebody in Newfoundland got it.
We talk a lot about young farmers, but for established farmers, there's always an issue of finding, if you're scaling up, finding labor for that. What's that like in Labrador?
It's very difficult, especially with so many big projects going on around. Yep. And the cost of living is high, so people need a higher wage. And when we don't have automation and we don't have the infrastructure, we're so labor intensive and so slow to get things done that there's no money there to pay a higher wage. We've had to, you know, look at bringing in foreign workers, and it's made a big difference, because in order to run a farm here, you have to work off the farm. You can't really borrow money against your farm because you don't own it. Here I am farming the government's land, feeding the government's people. How can I go to the bank and say I need to borrow against the government's land? You know, they just won't do it.
There's a lot of discussion about trying to double food production in the non-supply managed commodities. Do you have any sort of wisdom for the government?
Well, that's a funny number, double. Double nothing is still nothing. Labrador, we're not even supplying 1% of our dietary needs. So you're going to double that? Wow. And Newfoundland, you know, it depends how you calculate it, but whether they're supplying 5% of the dietary needs to go to 10.
They're talking about 10 going to 20.
It's really hard, because agriculture is a multi-billion dollar industry everywhere else in the world, except here. If you can't have your land, and that's what I keep telling them, like, okay, if our industry isn't here, it's not happening. Mm-hmm. Change your policy. Don't wait 25 years and then start talking about changing the policy. Don't wait 50 years and start talking about changing it. China put the world on notice. They want 119 million tons of grain for basic dietary needs. Like, we are going to have fires, and we're going to have floods around the world that's going to be wiping out crops and productions. We're getting frosts. Late frost, like PEI this year lost thousands of acres because crop came up and got hit by frost. And I seen a picture of frozen ground in PEI in the beginning of June. So, you know, things are happening around the world, and people up here are just at the mercy of everybody else. We need to support ourselves. We need to have our own food production.
So you think that land is one of the important pivots that would sort of move us forward in terms of getting more people into agriculture?
Yeah, like, I don't know how many thousands of granted agricultural acres of land they have in Newfoundland. They got thousands and thousands and thousands. Labrador, we don't even have one. We do not have one granted agricultural acre of land. And to me, it's what a way to oppress a society by not giving them land to feed their children. We're homesteading. Last fall, I lost the engine in my tractor. I couldn't rent one. I had to put an engine on a pallet from St. Mary's, Ontario, and truck it into here and take the engine out and switch them. You know, if I'm planting and my planter goes down, I can't go rent one. There's nobody doing custom work, and there's nothing else available to rent. We're homesteading. And if I don't really plan ahead and I run out of chicken feed and I got a flock of chickens, that's it. They're eating turnip greens until the truck comes.
Is there a song I should fold into this somewhere?
I don't hardly get time to listen to music. Yeah, I don't know. We'll be right back.
That's John Marshall, Danielle Payne, and friends doing a traditional tune from Southern Labrador simply called Old Square Dance Tune. I'm speaking with Tom Angiers, who operates Spruce Meadow Farms, just outside of Goose Bay in Labrador. We start off the second section about the need for collaboration and cooperation among government departments. Opening up new land involves the transition of forest land to agricultural land, but that has its own challenges. Can you imagine a situation where farmers can focus on growing food rather than having to deal with the many other barriers and demands they experience?
I'm in court right now with forestry, and we've been at this now a year. They gave me a fine for tipping over a tree 3.5 inch in diameter at chest height with my excavator. And they're saying that's merchantable, and I'm saying it's not merchantable. So right now we're opening up. We got a 320-acre parcel of land over there. So we got 50 acres done. We're opening up the other 270. It's almost a kilometer from one end to the other. And to pick up a forest and carry it out and set it on the side of the road and let it rot is the most ridiculous thing. Department of Agriculture says, oh yeah, go ahead, clear the land, get to farming. Forestry comes on, oh no, you can't clear the land, go farming. Somebody may want that tree. Well, agriculture should be set aside from forestry. Like, if this is an agricultural lease, it's not a forest operation. It'd be the same thing telling the forest operation, okay, yeah, you can go in and take the trees, but we want you to go back with an excavator and comb up all the branches and the tops, pull out all the stumps, burn them, plow it, and lime it just in case somebody wants to come and farm it, and then see how far backwards we can go in the province.
So what keeps you going?
Well, I'm in too deep. I'm ashamed to say, you know, 25 years, I get about $800,000 put into this, and I can't just walk away. I got to keep going bigger, and I should be retiring. I got to put the drive on so I can get it to a size that, you know, I can sell it, that it's a viable going concern, that somebody will buy it and be able to pay off the debt and raise their family and have a living.
So the problem, it isn't the soil.
It's not the growing conditions.
Not the market.
No, not at all. Those things are perfect. We have as good a growing conditions here as they do in 90% of the Newfoundland. In some places, we have better growing conditions.
Mm-hmm. Is there a role that consumers can play in all this?
Yeah, see, in Prince Edward Island, it's against the law to sell a Quebec potato.
Really?
No, but it's against all conscience.
Might as well be.
Yeah, it's against all conscience. And it's against the law to sell Prince Edward Island potatoes in Quebec. You know, we had 250,000 pounds here one year. Mm-hmm. And so I was talking to Quebec store, I was driving through, and I said, you know, got trucks coming empty, we'd be able to sell potatoes back here. He said, wouldn't be allowed across the border. He said, why? We got enough potatoes in Quebec for Quebecers. We don't want somebody else's potatoes here. But yet they'll dump in here their culls and then their old stock.
So if we had that same sort of ethos that we grow potatoes here, we grow cabbage here, we don't want somebody else's.
That's what we need. We need buy local. So that would be something that the government would need the government to push.
What's your favorite crop that you grow to eat?
I just love them all. You know, the bigger the variety, the more I like it. You know, I get excited going out in the field and seeing different stuff, you know.
Yeah.
We did some pumpkins this year and some cucumbers, and people want a variety though. They can't just stick to potatoes. You know, we did our chickens, and everybody who bought a chicken want 10 more. The demand is there. And the hardest thing for me is supplying wholesalers and grocery stores with high quality, labor intensive product and competing against low quality automation. You know, here we are with a fork, taking them off the floor, putting them onto the rack, cleaning them off, inspecting them, sorting and grading, and you're putting them in the bag by hand, and you're putting it on the scale, and then you're pulling a twist tie, and you get a few people in there for 4 or 5 hours, and you got a half a pallet. It's so disheartening. Yeah. I figured, like, some of these potatoes we handled 13 times before we got rid of the darn things. We need the storage billing, and we need the grocery stores, and we need the wholesalers, and we don't need to be selling roadside. We don't need to be selling to customers because we don't have the manpower. They get people standing at the cashier, and that's their expertise, and people want to walk into a nice building like that when it's raining and there's flies and mosquitoes and they're in a hurry and it's well located, and we need them.
Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, no problem.
Good luck.
It's a lifetime of work. It's hard work, and it just does not end. And so it's kind of comforting when you wake up in the morning. You got something to do every day.
That was Tom Angiers, a farmer just outside Goose Bay in Labrador. Market conditions change sometimes. This season, he had a great potato crop and was helped out by some new equipment, but has had some problems in finding markets in the region. In farming, there's always something.
As soon as anyone knows you got chickens, they ask right away, do you sell eggs?
Labrador, we're not even supplying 1% of our dietary needs, so you're going to double that? Wow. You know, we should have our own food here year-round.
The main problem here for growing, I would say, is government regulations.
It's against the law for us to pluck a chicken, lay an egg, or milk a cow.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes of this show or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. The songs for today's show were Labrador to the Core by Jacinda Beals and Old Square Dance Tune by John Marshall and Danielle Payne and Friends. The theme music, Cluck Old Hen, was performed this week by the Crooked Pine String Band. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. Happy trails.
Here I am, farming the government's land, feeding the government's people.
Listen to the farmers while there's still a few left.